Thank you all for staying until the end. So I'm Gregory Stupp. I'm part of the GeneWiki project at Scripps Research in San Diego, and going to talk about how we use Wikidata for biomedical knowledge integration and curation. So as you all probably know, the biomedical literature is massive. So PubMed has about 27 million journal articles in it, and the number is growing every year. This is the number of new publications per year, so it's growing every year. But much of this data is unstructured free text. It's hard to query and compute. So just a random example, if I search for inhibitors of this gene, HMGCR, in Google Scholar or PubMed, I'm just going to get papers that don't actually answer that question. Although a lot of this is in public databases, there are a lot of text mining tools as well. These are incomplete. These databases are incomplete, and there's other issues too that I'll go over. I don't know what that is. I probably don't need to go over this for this crowd, but I just wanted to go over why it's important to be able to structure and query this data, because I like this cartoon. So much scientific data already exists in the literature as facts or free text. If this data is processed, organized, structured, presented in context, we can build a knowledge graph out of it. And if we can build a knowledge graph out of it, maybe we can connect data in here in a new way, reveal new connections among existing data that we couldn't see before when we just had all this unstructured data. So how does this actually look in a biomedical question? So as an example, let's say I'm studying prostate cancer and I'm interested in this protein that I know is associated with prostate cancer. If I can find drugs that affect the activity of this protein, maybe this drug could be used to treat prostate cancer. I could even take it one step out further. Maybe there are proteins that interact with this protein that I know is associated with prostate cancer. And maybe if I can find drugs that affect this protein that interacts with a protein that's associated with prostate cancer, maybe that drug could be used to treat prostate cancer. So this is a kind of a straightforward example, but it's really difficult to answer currently for many reasons. One is scattered data. So each one of these links, the information, even though it's present in databases, is present in many different databases scattered all over the place. So drug protein interactions may be in one of at least 8 or 10 different drug databases. Protein-protein interactions are in lots of different protein-protein interaction databases. And even things like this are in lots of databases. So in order to do this one query, I would need to download, access, or parse at least 3 different databases, deal with different file formats, APIs, licenses, and identifiers. And identifiers is a huge issue too. So here's just the drug metformin, and these are just 11 of the different identifiers for this one drug, metformin. There's at least 20 others that I didn't fit on the slide. So these are just unique identifiers in each of these different chemical databases. Same thing with diseases. We have here 9 different disease identifiers, and even the relations can be tricky to match up. So one database may call inhibition, may have a field action inhibitor, may have a role inhibitor, may call it inhibits. It may use a, this is the relation ontology for inhibits. So we, in order to answer this question, we have to do a lot of vocabulary resolution and all the other things I said. So We, as biomedical scientists, in order to answer this question, we have this challenge, which is to make biomedical knowledge fair. Daniel will have a talk on this tomorrow, right? I saw it on the schedule. So I'm not going to go through it in too much detail, but it just means to make our data findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable. And if you're interested, see Daniel's talk. So what we've done in the GeneWiki project, in broad terms, is to model the structure of lots of different biomedical items, genes, drugs, diseases, variants, other items, and the relationships between them, import data from many different sources and ontologies, link the myriad of identifiers from all of these different external sources and bring them together. And we've also developed some architecture for maintaining this data from all of these external sources. So I'm not going to go through all of the different biomedical items because there's too many. So I'm just going to show an example for how we represent Go annotations, so functions for proteins, and these are loaded from the gene ontology. So for proteins, every protein has a Wikidata item, has a label, description, alias. This is the protein item. It's linked via a is encoded by property to the gene item, and the gene item is linked to the Wikipedia or the language Wikipedia pages if they exist. And as far as the content, so we've loaded the entire gene ontology. So are you all familiar with the gene ontology? So the gene ontology is an ontology of molecular functions, cellular components, and biological processes. So these are things that describe the actions or annotations of functions about proteins. So this is a large ontology. We've loaded it all into Wikidata. So for example, a molecular function of this protein, retinoic acid receptor alpha, is retinoic acid binding. This is an item in Wikidata that is part of the gene ontology. It is a subclass of retinoid binding, and this is all taken from gene ontology. It has a determination method. So this says, this was, forget what IDA is now. I can't read what that says. Direct assay. So this is a type of determination method. So was it determined in an automatic manner or a manual manner? So was it curated by somebody or was it done by an algorithm? We also have the references. So this was stated in this journal article. So this is an item that links to this paper that has a PubMed ID. It's an instance of a scientific article. So this, you know, links into Wikisite. And the curator, the British Heart Foundation, this is an item, has a grid ID. It's an organization, it has a website. And then we have a reference back to where this annotation actually came from. And this came from QuickGo from the EBI. So I'm going to skip all of the rest of them. And this is the sort of state of affairs of the GeneWiki project in Wikidata right now. So we have about half a million gene items. These, you probably can't read these, but these are the different external IDs that are associated with gene items and then the counts after. You could probably read it if you look at the slides. So we have genes, proteins. The proteins are linked to protein families and protein domains with data from InterPro. They are also linked to their functions through the gene ontology. We also have 150,000 chemical compounds and Sebastian in the GeneWiki project has done a lot of work on normalizing all of these items together. So this is data from 5 or 6 different chemical databases that have had all their identifiers normalized together. And so these are also linked to chemical hazards, which have been added by other groups outside of the GeneWiki project. What else? Variants as well. So we have variant disease chemical compound relationships. So using this big knowledge graph, we can start to answer questions like the question that I showed earlier. This is not the exact same question because we don't have any protein-protein interactions in here, so I can't answer that one. But what we can do is answer the question, what drugs interact with proteins whose genes are associated with prostate cancer? And because we have all of this information in Wikidata, we can write this Sparkle query and we can pull out that it is metformin that interacts with solute carrier family 22, which has a genetic association with prostate cancer. And because we've kept all of the references, we can see where this information came from. So this was a GWAS study. The reference is in Phenocarda. This gene encodes this protein according to UniProt, and this drug interacts with this protein according to PubChem, and it's stated in this reference, and this is the link to it. So you can go back and look at all of the evidence that formed this chain right here and decide for yourself if it makes sense. So we had both. So if data is inconsistent in multiple databases, it gets added as statements, and the reference for that database stays. So you'll see it. So you'll see it, and you'll see the reference for it along with it.
And how do you deal with updates?
I'll get to the updates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Feel free to ask questions. That's okay. No problem. So we can also, because we have all the evidence, we can query on the evidence as well. So I mentioned the termination methods. So for Go annotations, we have manual and automatic assertions. So you can actually include that in the Sparkle query. So you can ask, give me things where the termination method is a manual assertion. And because we've linked into Wiki site, into journal articles, you can query on that too. So I want the evidence to be a journal article that was published in the last 3 years, or published in Nature, or not published by somebody I don't like. So this data is incomplete. We don't have every database. We don't have everything about medical space, but it doesn't have to be. And I messed up my animations again. We're not trying to create the one database to rule them all. Our goal is to structure data in such a way that it can be linked to the semantic web. We can use federated queries across multiple sources in order to answer questions using data that's not in Wikidata. And if you're interested in hearing about that, see Andre's talk 3 hours ago to hear more about federated queries. Oh, okay. So you don't have to time travel. Okay. So I wanted to mention how we actually imported all of this data. So we built this Python module called Wikidata Integrator, which we use to build the bots to import all this data and keep it all up to date. This was started by Sebastian Bergstaller, and I'm giving a demo on it tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. if you want to hear more about it. And we've also built this Jenkins system to run bots on a schedule to keep all of this information up to date. So it hits external databases on a schedule, figures out what needs to be changed in Wikidata, and runs these bots. And you can go here and see our latest bot runs.
Can the integrator be used to migrate any MediaWiki data into Wikibase through the Sparkle endpoint? Or is just for this gene data?
Oh, it's general enough you could use it for anything.
Right.
Okay, so I've talked about knowledge integration, but what about curation? So as you all know, we can access Wikidata through all of these other services and Sparkle. We can also build specific applications on top of Wikidata. The goal of Wikidata is to get people to use and contribute to this data. However, Wikidata is enormous and can be intimidating for new users. So our idea is that if we can build a targeted, focused community and a website on top of a specific subset of data and introduce that to a specific crowd, maybe we can get people to interact with it through this portal that guides them on how to use and contribute to the data. So the application that we built targets bacterial genome annotations. The reason that we did this is because if you look at Go annotations that are manually or automatically generated for humans, about half of all gene annotations have been manually approved, curated by a human, whereas for bacteria, these are the 100 most, these are the 100 reference genomes. And about 90% of them are only automatic annotations. Only 10% have actually been curated or reviewed by somebody. And there isn't enough funding to annotate all of these bacterial genomes. So our idea is that if we can build a platform that allows researchers who are reading papers about bacterial genes to go in and add the annotations themselves. And they're not going to do this in Wikidata, but they might do it if we build an application that guides them through the process of doing it. So we built this site, Wikigenomes. This was all done by Tim Putnam in the GeneWiki project. So this is a bacterial genome viewer up here. So each one of these rectangles are genes. If you click on it, it loads information about these genes in these other panels. All of this information is taken from Wikidata live through the Sparkle query service. You have the Go annotations, InterPro, and other information about these genes. You can view claims through this panel, and if you see something that's missing, you can add an annotation, and it guides you through the process of adding a new claim in a structured way that allows us to retrieve that claim once somebody adds it. So it makes you add a molecular function that using an item that's part of Go, so you can't add that a molecular function is potatoes. You have to add the termination method and you have to add a reference. It can be wrong. We can't stop you from adding something that's wrong, but at least it's structured in a consistent way. And then once you add this, it's available in Wikidata for anybody else to use. So all of this stuff is available. This is our organization page, GitHub sulab/GeneWikiCentral. And it contains links to Wikidata Integrator, a repo that contains the scheduled bots that get run for all these different data sources. There's another interface that I didn't talk about, ClamBase. So this is basically an improvement on Wikigenomes specific for the chlamydia research community. Shucks that Andra has talked about already. So check out Andra's talk. a wrapper for BioThings API. So this is a system that checks external data sources to see if there's updates that need to be pushed into Wikidata. And then I'll end with some thoughts for the future. So the biggest headache in this whole thing probably is the licensing issues. So a lot of data sources that we want to use either have no license, and this is sort of a legal gray area and we don't really know what we can do with it, or they have a non-CC0 license, but when we reach out to the owners, they say, oh yeah, put it in Wikidata. We want our data to be open. Do what you want with it. And we say, but your license doesn't let us do that. And then it sort of ends right there. We also, there's issues with identifiers, data produced by government entities. So I don't know. I just wanted to bring this up and maybe discuss it afterwards. Yeah, that's it. And I'd like to acknowledge this is the whole GenWiki team, along with others, data contributors. And I'd like to thank the Wikimedia Foundation for a travel scholarship to come here, and the thousands of Wikidatans. Thank you. Okay.
So regarding the updates, you have this bot framework that brings the updates of these data sets into Wikidata, right? But what if someone updates your content, and will this be propagated back to their own?
So that's one thing I'm working on. I didn't talk about that. So one thing I'm working on is a tracker system that looks for all changes that have been made to data that we've imported from somewhere else, and then basically produces a report. And right now it's literally a CSV, an Excel file that contains all of everything that has been changed on, for instance, all disease items. So we get a monthly report of everything that's changed on disease items, and then I can send that back to Lynn from the disease ontology, and she can go through it and decide if there's anything that directly affects the disease ontology that she may want to change, or anything that she may want to add to the disease ontology. So right now this is a manual process, but we'd like to make it more automated.
And is the data that you integrate together living in Wikidata or some other wiki, like, I don't know, GenWiki data or something?
It's all in Wikidata.
All in Wikidata,
yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I had a similar question basically on how the providers of the data could be pinged automatically. So since you already mentioned that you're working on this, it would be great if you could build the solution in a general way just for the Wikidata integrator, because we have similar discussions in other contexts like the museums and other providers of data. I would like to have this as well.
Yes, that code, it's not, I mean, right now it's literally just a Python script that you run on the command line, but that's would be good to make it more usable by everyone. It exists in here right now.
Okay, cool. And the other thing I'd like to bring up, we have discussed this earlier, this is a large overview slide where you show the landscape. I really find this fascinating. I've spent hours in this one. Basically, well, first enlarging.
Yeah.
And then actually looking things up, because unfortunately it's not clickable. But having some sort of updatable version of this would be so nice, because in many of those area. Well, I'm active in this same space more or less, not with the same focus, but I'm still often lost in this space that I know very well. And having such a visualization that you can interact with would be so useful. And also that updates, like for instance, the wiki site part is outdated by an order of magnitude.
Right.
this which is
from 4 months ago or 6 months ago or something.
But some of the other things are also like out of date and new, especially here, the numbers are not so important, but the links are more important because new things enter the landscape. And
in order to write the queries, you need to know how these different items are connected to each other and through a property. So it's so that's why this is important to see.
Yeah, I understand that with the tool that you used, it doesn't scale. You can't easily redo it. But this is more or less a question to the room: whether anyone has an idea on how we can have some visualization of this on a more routine basis.
Checks.
Bear in mind that technically it's possible, but when you have to update that in wiki, you have to send a lot of queries to the Wikidata, and so then you will increase the amount of queries that you send to the engine in the end. So that's a technical issue where you have to. But shape expression is indeed. So we now use shape expression for the modeling part, and then once you have the model, you can generate we draw this, then you have the shape expression, and the next thing is to have it turn back. But that's quite challenging.
Sure. Yes.
Just one more. How have you done the linking between all these knowledge bases? Is it manual? Is it you used any technology in particular?
Variety of answers. For the chemical compounds, it was mostly done through IncheKeys. So most of the databases have at least the SMILES or an Inchi or a chemical structure. And Sebastian basically converted all of them to IncheKey and then normalized all the identifiers through IncheKey. For other things, it was more manual. So string match as best we can, and then do it manually or put it on mix and match. Mesh, there's a lot of mesh stuff that's on mix and match right now. It depends. Yeah.
We have regular irregular meetings based on Doodle. We just try to make a meeting, or when we meet in some sort of hackathon, and then we just sit down and say, okay, this is the landscape in Wikidata, this is the landscape in the variants or in the pathway space, how do we map that? And that's, I'm currently involved in the pathway space, and that's already 4 months, 5 months. And it's really about mapping, that's putting the semantics into the database.
Hello. One thing that bothers me with the biomedical science is you got this reproducibility crisis where there's a lot of facts that may not be facts. And I suppose in the medical domain, you are very often inclined to do meta-analysis. And for meta-analysis, you need some kind of quantitative values, effect sizes. So how can we... In this domain here in GeneWiki, there, as far as I know, there's no attempt to record sort of more value-oriented things, effect sizes or variances or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, do we have anything in Wikidata that is able to do that?
So, for example, gene or a drug-protein interaction that may have a strength. So if a drug inhibits the action of a protein, it may have a strength associated with it. And right now that data is not in Wikidata, but that's definitely something that we want to do.
Does it come with a sort of a variation or standard deviation or something like that?
Sometimes.
Okay.
It depends on where we get the data from. So it depends on the data source, but it should. Yeah.
Do we have properties to represent these things, or?
So we have range properties. There is a discussion on this. Who?
Yeah, well, there is a proposal for range properties. We don't. Well, we have some range properties, but not for this kind of range.
Yeah, it won't actually work for this. Yeah, we have basically like a mean and a standard deviation, but not like a range. So, yes and no.
Okay.